Good morning. Would you please turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I would like to read from the verse 19 through to the verse 26. And while you're turning up that passage of scripture, I would like to give each and every one a very warm welcome, and also our webcast viewers. We're glad that you have come this morning. We are glad this morning, if you are looking on anywhere in the world, we're glad that you have been able to join with us. And it is our prayer this morning, as we look at God's word, that the Lord himself would be pleased to bless his word to all our hearts. So if you just have your Bibles open there, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would like to read from the verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And we know that the Lord himself will bless the reading of his own precious word. With our Bibles open, let us just take a moment or two, please, to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our gracious Father, we come afresh to thee, and as always, we come in our Saviour's great and worthy name, and we thank thee for thy presence with us already. And we pray now, Lord, as we come to look at thy word, that thou thyself would be pleased to take thy word and to bless it to each and every one, and that we will leave this Bible study this morning knowing it was good for us to be here, for it was here we met afresh with the Lord. Bless thy word now, we pray, to all our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen. This morning, from the scriptures, I want to show you that it is not God's will for the bodies of believers to be cremated, but rather to be buried. Among apparent Christians, cases occur where what happens to their bodies, or to the bodies of their near relatives, seems to be a matter of indifference. They do not mind whether they are buried or cremated. This matter is not one of indifference, even if it is cloaked in the worthy argument that it is the soul that matters. And it is true that the eternal destination of the soul is all important. This cannot be emphasized enough. Thank God that for the believer in Christ, when the believer in Christ comes to die, in regard to their body, it is absent from the body and present with the Lord. As Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 23 says, it is far better. But this does not mean that what happens to the body is completely unimportant. Yes, the soul is very, very important. And the destination of the soul is very, very important. And that is very, very important because the soul never goes out of existence. The soul has a conscious existence. But this does not mean that the body is completely unimportant. You see, the Bible teaches us that the souls and the bodies of believers in Christ are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 19 and 20, you will see that both souls and bodies are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 19, Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, we are told here that we are bought with a price. And it speaks here, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." You can see soul and body here is important to the Lord, because the Lord has redeemed both body and soul with his own precious blood. It is important to note from the scriptures that God places great importance on the bodies of his people, both when they die and also at the second coming of Christ, when their bodies will be raised again to perfection. When they will have bodies like unto Christ's glorious body. That's what the Word of God tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 in regard to the believer in Christ, that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again, that they will have a glorious body like unto Christ's glorious body. Let me emphasize again that the scriptures make it very clear that it is God's will for the believer in Christ for their bodies to be buried and not to be cremated. First of all, let us look at some scriptural examples of burial. Please turn to the book of Genesis and the chapter 23. The book of Genesis and the chapter 23. This whole chapter of the book of Genesis, chapter 23, is devoted to this subject, the subject of burial. Now, in this particular chapter, chapter 23, Sarah has died, and she died in what was virtually a foreign land to Abraham, although the land of promise. It was the land of promise, but it was virtually a foreign, strange land to Abraham. But we read here in Genesis chapter 23 of the great care that Abraham gives to this matter, the matter of the disposing of his wife's body. Let us look at the chapter, please. We read in verse 1, "And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of sight." No mention here of her body being burnt or cremated, but we read here about a burying place, her being buried, but we read nothing about her body being burnt or cremated. Verse 5, "And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. Again, we read here about burying. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury the dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Hephron, the son of Zoar, that he may give the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place among you. And you can see time and time again, verse after verse, it doesn't speak about Sarah's body being burnt or cremated, but it speaks of a burying place. It speaks of her body being buried. Abraham wanted a burying place for her body. Her body would be put out of sight. It wouldn't be burnt. It wouldn't be cremated, but it would be put out of sight. And that's what burying means. It may be buried in a cave, as it speaks of here, but it is the burying. It is the putting of the body out of sight. It doesn't mention cremation. It doesn't mention burning. And we can see from all these verses that creation, or not creation, but cremation is not right and burying is right. Do we not detect the smile of the Lord and the approval of the Lord on Abraham's project here, in giving him favor in the sight of the children of Heth? Remember, he was in a foreign land. Now, can you imagine going into a foreign land and requesting something in that foreign land? But you know, the Lord, he gives his approval here. He gives his favor here to Abraham in the sight of the children of Heth. He is favored in the sight of these people, even though he was in a foreign land and these were not his people. Yet the Lord laid it upon their hearts to give him this land for the burial of his loved one. Abraham was able to bury Sarah there and had a properly acquired burying place for future use. And further scripture shows us that it was used again and again. You see, he had bought this field. He had bought this from the children of Heth. And he was going to use this for his own family and for families to come. He would use it time and time again. And we can see that if you turn to Genesis chapter 25, please. Genesis chapter 25 and the verses 8 through to 10. And we read these words. And this time, remember that Abraham had buried his wife. Now we read about Abraham dying. And he also was buried. And he is buried with his wife. We read in verse 8, Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now that speaks of his soul. When it says there he was gathered to his people, Abraham gave up the ghost. Now that doesn't speak of his body, but that speaks of his soul. He still had a conscious existence. You see, death does not mean going out of existence, but death means the soul departing from the body. And as far as Abraham was concerned, his soul was gathered onto his people. And we read in the verse 9, And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. His body was buried. Where? In the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. So both Sarah and Abraham were buried in this place which was purchased by Abraham of the sons of Heth. of Heth. But please look at Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, please. And this time I would like you to look at verse 29. And this time we read of Isaac. Isaac dies this time. Abraham had died. Sarah had died. Now their son Isaac dies. And we read in verse 29, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died again. He gave up the ghost. He didn't go out of existence as far as his soul was concerned. The ghost, the spirit, the soul, that's what it's speaking about. He didn't go out of existence, but he still had a conscious existence. And he died. And that's what death means. It's the separation of the soul from the body. Of course, for the believer, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. Of course, for the unbeliever, it is absent from the body, and the soul goes into a place called hell. But that's for another time. But we read, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of age. But then we read of his burial, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. They buried him. And of course, if we were to look at further scriptures, we would see that he was buried in exactly the same place that Abraham and Sarah were buried, in that place where Abraham had purchased of the children of Heth. Please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 47 this time. And this time, we read of Jacob. Now, Jacob hadn't died at this time, but he was preparing for death. And you know, it's good to prepare for death. Even as a believer, it's good to prepare for death. You know, we've only got one life. It will soon be passed. And only that which is done for Christ will last. And you know, we should, while we have still the time, we should redeem the time, for the days are evil. And we should put into the time that we have, take every opportunity and seek to serve the Lord as best we can. And of course then, when it comes to that time then to die, we can look forward to hearing the words of the Lord himself, well done, good and faithful servant. But maybe there's someone, maybe listening in the webcast this morning, you need to prepare to die as well. Maybe there's someone in this meeting I don't know. I don't know the heart, only the Lord knows the heart. Maybe you need to prepare to die. Because if you die outside of Jesus Christ, your soul will not be gathered onto the people of God, as these men were and these women were. But your soul will be lost in the torments of hell forever and forever. But let us read in the verses 29 through to 31 of the chapter 47 of the book of Genesis, please. And we read in the verse 29, and the time drew nigh that Israel, or Jacob, he was Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, must die. You see, we must die. And you know, we're going to die. We're going to die someday. That is, if the Lord doesn't return before that, of course, but we're going to die someday. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph. Remember, he was in the land of Egypt now. He's in the land of Egypt. And he calls his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not. Now, let me just stop there. There's another little bit to add on to that, but that is the cry of those who cry out for cremation. Bury me not. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Because it goes on here, and Jacob goes on to say, I pray thee, bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. The very same place that Abraham was buried, Sarah was buried, Isaac was buried. And he said, swear unto me. And he sware unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Then turn to Genesis 49 and the verse 28, please. And here Jacob repeats what he has just said, this time to his 12 sons, to the 12 tribes of Israel as it is described here. But he's speaking here to his 12 sons. And it says in the verse 28 of Genesis chapter 49, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And I buried Leah. This tells us about two other ladies who were buried in the very same place, Rebekah and Leah. Of course, Rebekah was Isaac's wife, and of course, Leah was one of Jacob's wives. So we can see here that these two were also buried in the same place. And when we go in to the chapter 50, we can see that Joseph and the rest of the family dutifully do what Jacob has asked them to do. They do what he asked them to do. Look at the chapter 50, please. Look at the chapter 15. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. Now, you can see there that they weren't burnt. They weren't cremated. They're in Egypt. They're embalmed. But they weren't burnt. They weren't cremated. Actually, it was for the purpose of preserving their bodies. That was the whole purpose of it. It was for the purpose of preserving their bodies. You can see here that the scriptures are showing us very clearly that it's God's will that the believer in Christ be buried and not cremated. And 40 days were fulfilled, verse 3, for him. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And you know, there's nothing wrong with mourning. Scriptural. And you know, there are many, even in our congregation here, and they have lost loved ones, friends. And you know, there's nothing wrong with mourning because you miss them. We all miss our loved ones. But it is good to know that for those who die in Christ, that they have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. We just move on. And we read, and when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, though I die, in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. He was greatly respected. He was greatly respected, this man, Jacob. He was greatly respected. And you know, I wonder what sort of testimony that we will leave. Will we leave a testimony that we loved the Lord, that we loved the people of God. We loved the souls of men and women. Will there be someone come to maybe a relative and say to them, well, you know, that man or that woman will be missed. Maybe an unsaved person, and they'll say, well, you know, they spoke to me many, many times, but even though I'm not saved, I had great respect for that man. He was faithful to my soul. So we can see here that these people had great respect for this man. And all the house of Joseph, verse 8, and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. But look at verse 13. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, the same place again, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. All of these verses of Scripture show us the care that the ancient patriarchs took in this matter of burying their dead. The skeptic may dismiss it all as merely tribal customs, but these were the Lord's people. And while not without their sins and mistakes, they sought, as it is evident here, as we have read, they sought to walk in the fear of God. And you know, we are not to walk in the fear of man or the world. We are not to conduct our lives and what we do in regard to what the world does. The world will seek to put pressure on us. They will say, well, we haven't got enough burying places. There's places like that. We have to cremate. They'll use all the excuses of the day. But we are to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. We're to fear the Lord. And we can fear the Lord by doing what his word tells us to do at all times, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. If there's someone who's thinking about cremating a person, well, they need to be told, you do not cremate me. I will be buried, no matter what it costs. That's what needs to be done. You see, not for them any heathen customs of burning. Nor was the question of the disposing of their bodies a matter of utter indifference. They made appropriate and reasonable provision for their burials, and their children meticulously carried out their wishes. These Genesis patriarchs set us a good example in this whole matter. And that's why I read these verses to you, because these Old Testament Genesis patriarchs, they set before us the example which we should carry out in regard to burial. The Old Testament abounds with other examples, but I haven't time to go into all those examples this morning. You can look those up for yourself. If you have a good concordance, you get to the word burial or burying place or whatever the case may be, you'll be able to find out what those other examples are. But let us look at some of the New Testament examples in regard to burial. You see, we can turn first of all to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, please. And the verse 12. And here we read of John the Baptist. We read of John the Baptist. And we read in the verse 12, remember his head was beheaded. We read in verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. That was Herod. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. And buried it. You see, not only in the Old Testament are we taught in regard to the burial of the body, but also in the New Testament. John the Baptist was buried. He wasn't burned or cremated. Yes, he got his head cut off, but he wasn't burned or cremated. But also, look please at what it says in regard even to Christ himself. What it says in regard to Christ himself. We read, in all the Gospels, it speaks about the resurrection of Christ. It speaks of the resurrection of Christ. Look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 8. Mark chapter 14 and the verse 8. And we read here about this woman who came to the Lord, and the Lord says, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. You see, she had anointed the Lord and poured out the oil upon the Lord's head. And the Lord here said, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So we have Christ's example here of he himself was buried. And as I said before, and I haven't time because I'm looking down at my watch here, I haven't time to go through all the New Testament and the Gospels where it teaches us that the Lord himself was buried. But you can read it for yourself in Matthew chapter 27. In Mark chapter 15, in Luke chapter 23, and also in John chapter 19. But maybe I could just point you to Stephen here, just one I should have brought to you, Acts 8 and verse 2, about a believer in Christ. We read in Acts 8 and verse 2 about Stephen after he had been stoned to death. We read in Acts 8 and verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial. You see, Stephen was buried. And even Ananias and Sapphira, even though the Lord had to be severe on them, even they were buried. Because if you look at Acts chapter 5, you look at Acts chapter 5 there, and we read these words in regard to Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, the soul. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And we read about the same thing about his wife. You can read that for yourself. She also was buried as well. So we can see very clearly from the Old Testament and the New Testament that it is not God's will for the believer's body to be cremated, but it is God's will for the believer's body to be buried. But very quickly this morning, secondly, this morning, let us look at some scriptural evidence for the resurrection of the bodies of believers in Christ to perfection at Christ's second coming. This is very important because if the body is buried, then the Bible also teaches that it will be raised again. It will be raised again at the second coming of Christ. Let us first of all turn to that chapter which I read to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the great chapter on the resurrection. And let us first of all just look at that passage which we read together, and we can see there in regard to the resurrection of the body. We read, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, verse 19, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Why will we rise again at the resurrection? Because Christ has risen. That's the reason. That's the reason why we will rise again. It is sure, it is certain. We read, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Speaking of Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he has risen. Afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So there's going to be the resurrection of the believer's body when Christ comes. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You see, dear believer in Christ, death is going to be destroyed. Actually, the Lord has destroyed it. And as far as we are concerned, our bodies have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that day coming when our bodies will be raised. A glorious body, like unto his glorious body. Look at verses 42 to 44 just very quickly. And of course it speaks here of the resurrection of the dead. And it speaks of the body. It's used in the figure as a seed, the body here. We read, it is sown in verse 42. Speaking of the body here, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Speaking of the body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. And there is a spiritual body. You see, the seed here, speaking of the body of the child of God, we read, is sown in weakness. But one day it will be raised in incorruption and in power. It has been sown a natural body, but will be raised a spiritual body. It will be like a body like unto Christ's glorious body, as we have quoted already. We will have a body, a glorious body, like unto Christ's glorious body. Look at verses 51, please, of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, when it's talking here about sleeping, it's talking here to the believer in Christ. It's talking about believers in Christ. It's talking about their bodies. It's not talking about their souls. There's no such thing as soul sleep. But we shall all be changed, the body. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. There we have the same thing again. And we shall be changed. Of course, it's speaking there of those who will be alive and remain when the Lord returns again. Because they will be changed also when the Lord returns. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And of course you can read for yourself 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The very same thing. It's the very same thing. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it's speaking again of the same thing. It's speaking about the resurrection of the body. But one more wee thing to say. And I've got about 4 minutes to say it. And I've struggled so far, so I might as well struggle for another 4 minutes. But maybe this morning you would ask the question, well, what happens to the bodies of believers in Christ who have not had a Christian burial? Good question. Have you ever thought about that? What happens to the bodies of believers who have not had a Christian burial? You see, some Christians may be accidentally burned to death. That has happened, sadly. It is a fact that some Christians have been reduced to ashes at the stake for the sake of their Christian faith. Some have been eaten by lions for the same reason. Some have been drowned at sea, and probably the fish has ate their bodies. But the resurrection of their bodies at the judgment day is assured just the same. Why do I say that? Because I read of a God in the Bible who can do anything. With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It presents no greater difficulty to God's almighty power to raise those who have died in such a way that I have just described than the resurrection of those who have gently mouldered to dust in the ground. See, God is able to raise the body, no matter in what way that body has died. Job 19 and verse 26. I'll not ask you to turn to it, but what have you, Job, had of God's resurrection power? He said these words, and I have it written down here, that's why I don't have to turn it up in the Bible. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You think about that. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, what would the words say? Well, how could the body ever be raised again? How could that ever happen? Well, because nothing is impossible with God. God says it will happen, and I believe God. Someone once mentioned about Jonah, about the whale swallowing Jonah. You know, if the Bible said to me that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it, because God says it. And God makes it very clear here. You see, God will as easily raise again the body of John Wycliffe. Though his enemies sent his ashes down the rivers to the seas, as he will of John Bunyan from his grave in Bunhill Fields. God will do it. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And you know, I've been speaking about the bodies of believers. But of course, when we look at this, all bodies will be resurrected one day. There will be the resurrection, the just and the unjust. Acts 24 and verse 15, John 5 verses 28 and 29 make it very clear that there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. You know, there's some would love to think that, well, when I leave this scene of time, you know, that's it. My body will go out of existence. I haven't got a soul, and I'm just going to go out of existence, and sure, that's the end of it all. But you know, the Bible doesn't teach that. If you read Matthew chapter 25, if you read Revelation chapter 20, it's very clear that all who are in the graves will stand one day before the Lord himself at the great white throne. And thank God for those who are saved, both body and soul. They will enter in to all that Christ has purchased for them. They will have bodies redeemed of the Lord. But for those who have died in their sins, they will have bodies fit for the lake of fire itself. Both body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 15 says, whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, thank you very much indeed for listening this morning. And we'll just close in a short word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we come to Thee and we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy help. And Lord, we pray as, Lord, the stammering tongue has gone silent, that Thou Thyself would speak on. Lord, that Thou would take Thine own word and that Thou would bless it to the people. We ask these things for Christ's sake, for His glory. Amen.